Yam HaMelach for you, it's Dead Sea. On the other side, the Kingdom of Jordan. It's beautiful right now. And you see, it's pure desert. They have some springs on the other side with those hotels. And that's it. From now to the south and to the east, it's totally desert. The brown area, that plateau down there, was covered by the Dead Sea until 20 years ago. But wow, the level is dropping so fast. Why? Because Israel and Jordan can't allow any drop of water reach here. We need the water for drinking, for irrigation. So this lake has no income, only outcome. How come outcome? There's no other way out of it? Up, evaporation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So nothing of the Jordan comes in.
You saw the Jordan when the people tried to baptize there? Mm. That's all. With no really stream, that's all. Mm. It's not enough compared to this evaporation that you find here. Mm-hmm. But we need the water and we use it for a good purpose. We drink the water. You have another
You don't drink this water.
No, we drink the water of Jordan River.
I mean, sure.
No, I'll try to drink it. No.
No, okay. But they're talking about a channel from the Mediterranean to here. Or
yeah, they're talking about it, but it never got high priority. So Israel has always other problem to deal, so they delay it. Okay. So this is the village.
All the knowledge that you guys have, you can't find a use for the water?
Use of this water? We find a lot of use. You're going to see you see the industry down there. Magnesium, potassium. Bromides,
cosmetics.
Chlorides, okay. A lot of money. I told you before, this is the sea of money, not a dead sea. The sea of money.
Sea of money.
We're going to cross that village right now. But you're talking about their books. You know what? Leave their books. Let's go to the Bible. There are two books in the Bible. They are sort of weird books. They just break or broke the conception of the Bible. One is Esther. Esther, because it's a nice story, easy to understand, not so difficult as the Bible. What is doing that? What happened? It's another collection, but we have it there. And I'm glad. It's a nice book. The other one is Daniel. The last book in the Bible. And Daniel is a late book that we don't really understand how he got to be involved and cut it inside. When you read Daniel, and the Christian read it a lot, we the Jews, we never read it, because when we try, we don't understand a thing inside. Mm. It's a difficult book. It's mystical book. It's not clear to us. Talking about powers and wars and whatever, bads and evil, the duality start there. But in the Second Temple period, it's late to the Bible, we got to sort of moda, you know, of writing such books. So Daniel maybe was the first of them and the last one to get into the Bible. But then in Jesus' time, those idea of dualism, beware, because it's good and bad, black and white, light and darkness and so on, evil and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was common idea at that time. And this group of people, the Israelite, they were deeply into this kind of mysticism. So if you read the book of the War of Sons of Light and Sons of Darkness, you understand it. And it's not far away from Daniel. So this is what they were doing. They're calculating the future, the end, the war, and preparing the survivors, not physically them, but the books, to the future. This is what they did. And they succeeded to do it for 2,000 years until we discovered them. Okay? Now, the books that were kept in jars for 2,000 years in a cave, they are kept in a bunker under the Israel Museum. And when you get there, you see only a little part of it and you don't feel that you are in a bunker. But deeply down there, there are many, many other books that are still examined because you don't really know them all. Okay? Let's cross the village.
So two mikvahs.
Two mikvahs. First of all, you see that the mikveh is small and there are some stairways going down or a place to sit around, but it is plastered to prevent infiltration, to avoid that the water escape to us because they need any drop of water. Second, you can understand how they got the water here. You see around? You see sort of an aqueduct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Gutters.
We'll try to follow it. Let's continue this way. Look there. This is a storage of water. This is not a mikveh. This is huge.
Real
storage. You see still the plasters down there.
Yeah.
And some of it over there. Yeah. Layers of plaster to protect the walls. How many people could drink this water for 1 year? There were not so many. I'm not sure there were 40 of them. So they had a lot of water for themselves. A lot of water to survive. So we don't have to calculate.
This is their reservoir, right?
This is a reservoir.
Okay.
But look to the right side. What do you see here? A square? This is something that was made by them.
Okay.
What is this? Why did they have to put the stones to make it like a floor?
Make a stone floor, like a cobble floor, right?
Yeah. What for?
Work area.
Yeah, I said this was the industrial part of the village.
100,000 date pits.
You see that? A lot of pits of date were found here. Dry, very dry, of 2,000 years. But they were sitting and eating dates or making honey. The honey of dates was the sugar of those days, very expensive, and they could take it to the markets, so they could make money of it. Or maybe to put the dates without the pits and with a stone or a big wheel to pass it over to make it and make it dry, like you can buy in Turkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to dry it or half dry it and then to keep it for a long period. It's sweet and you eat it. You can buy it in markets today. The same, they could eat it here. So they worked. They had source of money here. 100,000 pits of dates here.
Wow.
So where did they have the trees?
Yeah, where did they have the trees?
Oh, where did they have the trees in Jerusalem? No, it's the trees of a hot place, but humid place or with a lot of water. Not here. They didn't have how to irrigate. All the dates that you saw on the way, they are irrigated. So they had to go to some oasis with springs. And there you can find the palm, the date palms. Down there are springs.
Ah.
So they could go there, pick the dates here. But bring water from there to the mikvahs, it's not logical. Okay? So we can understand the head dates. It grow up in oasis. There is oasis down there. Mm-hmm. And they had source of money. But still the water is a question. Looking down here, what we see here, erosion of soft material, which is the deposit of the Dead Sea. It's sort of clay, whatever. Not really clay, but that's enough for us right now. But it's really soft. And every time that there is rain here, I mean one per 20 years, so the water chains, take sediment away in the floods. And we have caves. And this is the cave, that they found the first scrolls over there, the Bedouin kids. And then others were found here and other caves, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The trail to the cave was washed away a few years ago with another event of rain, which is really rare here. So now you can't even go there, but it was there. Look down there, you see one rain, what damage it done to the surface here. But if we have rain here that you cannot use the water because with this dry air, it's evaporate. Mm. Think what happened in the mountains up there. There's much more rain because it's west, mm-hmm. it's high, and the rain go in a lot of small tributaries mm-hmm. joined together to a canyon. And then if you look that way, there in the canyon,
there's a big
dry waterfall.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can see where it would be, yeah.
Yeah. Once a year, or once per 3 years, or even three times a year, it depends, but this is the picture. You can have flood for 3 hours.
Wow.
3 hours with huge power that come down, fall down, continue cutting the way to the Dead Sea. What he did was to build up there an aqueduct to carry the water to the side and then down there mm-hmm. near the stream of there mm-hmm. till the mikvahs, and one flood is enough to fill them all.
Wow.
That's the idea.
That's incredible.
But the mikvahs were covered, like, not like now, to prevent evaporation.
So
this is the way that they had water for bath, mikveh, for drinking, uh-huh. and that's it.
So as we look at the where the cave is, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and up to the right, and we can see two kind of openings. And as more rain falls and more of the soft matter is eroded, could it be that more caves will open up?
Yeah, there were more caves here. Here for sure.
For sure. You see,
the roof collapsed. You can see it. Everything here was, we believe, was excavated. But we cannot tell because if there was a cave that doesn't exist today, but we tried to excavate or to survey every square meter here. Mm-hmm. Because it's so important. Look, you go to Spain, to other countries, you go to the National Museum, there is a bunker and you see the treasuries of that country with crown and gold, whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you find in Israel as a treasury? Book, this is the treasure of our nation. Book, a scroll. You see that? Mm-hmm. So for us, it's more important than gold. Mm-hmm. We try to find them all. But we have so many caves and so many scrolls we find from that period, from Bar Kokhba revolution against the Romans, mm-hmm. from others, and we found in Masada also. So we have a lot of material. It will take 100 years to learn it all.
Really, yeah.
Let's continue this. Here you see the offices of the village. And what was found here in excavation was a treasury of coins.
Aha. Well, they found a treasury of coins in Herzliya recently, didn't they?
You see that? So, when in this place you didn't find any coin in a surface, in excavation, which is really difficult not to find. Every place we have excavation, you find coins. One there, two there, no, in deposit, in garbage place at that time, you find coins that give you a lot of information. Here there was no coin all over the village. Suddenly we find them all together. So we believed that they shared the life. And this was a common treasury for them all. Mm-hmm. And all the money they had, they put it together. Okay, we need six.